We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. The comedy, mystery, the fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again, to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, it's intrigue and suspense with The Whistler. But first, on the lighter side, let's head on down to Summerfield and spend some time with The Great Gildersleeve. The Great Gildersleeve was created by Harold Perry while working on Fibber McGee and Molly in Chicago. The character became so popular that in August of 41, Gildersleeve broke away for his own Sunday night NBC time slot. The Great Gildersleeve is thought to be the first radio program based on a supporting character from another show. As the show approached its 10th anniversary, Harold Perry tired of the role and eventually dropped it. Into Perry's shoes came Willard Waterman, whose interpretation was so much like the original, it was startling. For the 1954-55 season, the program went to a daily 15-minute offering, each episode loosely connected. The program returned to 30 minutes in 1955, where it continued on Thursdays until the last curtain rang down in 1958. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with The Great Gildersleeve and Gildy Shares Leroy's Piano Lessons from September of 1950. Another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again, to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
Bertie, have you seen Uncle Mort?
He's upstairs getting ready to go to the county fair. He even got him a new suit, binoculars, and a cane.
Oh, brother, what a character.
The Kraft Foods Company presents Willard Waterman as the Great Gildersleeve. Gildersleeve is brought to you by the Kraft Foods Company, makers of parquet margarine and all those other wonderful Kraft quality foods. The lights are bright in Summerfield tonight. Crowds are on the streets. Tomorrow's the big day. It's county fair. Out at the Great Gildersleeve's house, the water commissioner isn't waiting till tomorrow morning to fit himself out for the fair. He's dressing tonight.
Yes, sir. Spent $35 for this suit, and by George, it's worth it. When I go to the fair, I'm representing the city water. I got the sparkle. I wish I had a full-length mirror so I could see the pants.
Are you in your room, Monkey?
Yes, come in, Marjorie. I'm trying on my new suit. Not bad, huh?
Oh, that's handsome, Uncle Mort. And a new necktie.
Yep. Water commissioner necktie. Hand-painted picture of Niagara Falls.
Wait, is that a spot on there?
No, I asked the clerk about that. It's a man going over the falls in a barrel. Clever?
Well, you look fine, Anki.
Thank you, my dear. Say, where is everybody?
Well, Bronco's working later tonight, so we can go to the fair tomorrow.
Good boy.
And Bertie's down in the kitchen, and Leroy's in the living room practicing on the piano.
Well, fine. Guess I'll get down and give the boy a little encouragement. Gildersleeve, you've got this household running like clockwork.
piano.
Leroy, you know what your uncle said. You better practice.
What for? The more I practice, the rottener I get. If I keep this up, it's going to be murder.
Leroy?
Okay.
Just keep it up. I've been upstairs listening. You're doing fine.
Are you kidding?
Just keep at it, Leroy. Practice makes perfect, you know.
Gee, Uncle, I have to practice now. All the other kids are out at the fairground. They're putting up the midway. I'll practice twice as long tomorrow, couldn't I, Uncle?
Now, my boy, I know it's a big temptation to run out to the fairgrounds, but duty comes first. Do your work, and then play afterwards.
Gee whiz, all the other people are out having fun, and I gotta sit here and practice. It's lonely.
Leroy, when a person plays the piano, he can never be lonely.
The way I play it, he can.
Well, you have to keep at it.
Okay.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, Bronco, finally finished your work, huh?
Yes, sir. You know, Mr. Gildersleeve, when a man's going to be a father, he really has to pitch.
Yeah, that's right.
Marge and I are going to have a little bird in our nest.
Who's gonna pitch and where's the bird?
Never mind.
Yeah. Hello, Bronco, baby.
Oh, Marge, darling.
Oh, cute kids.
Hey, Marge, Mr. Gildersleeve, look what I bought downtown. It's a wonderful book.
A book? Well, good.
Oh, this is no ordinary book, Mr. Gildersleeve. This is about babies. It tells what to do with them.
Oh, let's see it, Bronco.
Say, a cute picture on the cover. A stork carrying a baby in a tablecloth.
What's going on?
Now, Leroy, stay with your practicing.
Holy cow, I don't get in on anything. Who got the bird?
Somebody call Birdie.
Oh, my God.
Look, Birdie, Bronco found a baby book. It'll tell us exactly what to do.
Ain't that nice?
Leroy?
Huh?
You're practicing.
Okay.
Now, George, you're going to finish that lesson if I have to nail your trousers to the piano stool.
Uncle Mort, here's something interesting.
Oh?
Here in the back of the book, Behavior of Older Children. It says, do not force the child to obey. Seek his cooperation by being a partner. Join in his activities.
Well, that's right. Good advice.
In cases in which the child finds an activity difficult or uninteresting, the parent should become a partner. So that the parent and child work and learn side by side.
Yes, indeed. You want to remember that, Marjorie.
Leroy sure having a bad time with them piano lessons.
You see, Unky, the reason Leroy doesn't like to practice his piano is that he's alone. The book is absolutely right.
Marjorie, what are you leading up to?
Well, I think what she means, Mr. Gildersleeve, is that you and Leroy should be partners in the piano.
Partners in the piano?
Well, it's never too late to learn, Unky.
That's right, Mr. Gildersleeve. My grandfather learned to play the bass clarinet when he was 74.
Yeah, I know, but...
Leroy wouldn't mind practicing his hour a day if he knew you were doing it too, would he, Birdie?
I think Leroy'd be tickled to death, but I can't see the two of them on that piano stool. Somebody's gonna be sitting on thin air.
Well, they wouldn't practice at the same time.
Now, Marjorie, you're being carried away with an idea. It wouldn't make a bit of difference to Leroy if I practiced the lessons with him. Not a bit.
All right, ask him.
Well, Leroy?
Okay, I'm practicing.
No. No, come here.
What you want?
Leroy, how would you, you wouldn't like your piano lessons any better. I mean, it wouldn't be any easier if I practiced along with you, would it?
You won't? Practicing?
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
I think it's a keen idea.
You do?
We'll start tonight, Unc. I'll practice an hour and then you practice an hour, okay?
Well...
Oh, boy, wait till they hear us play, Unc. It'll be you and me against the world.
Hello, Peavy.
Oh, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you this evening?
Give me a box of those chocolates there, Peavy.
Very well.
Are they fresh?
Well, yes.
If I. Just give them to me, Peavy. I'm in a big hurry.
Well, give me a chance to dust it off.
The box doesn't look very fresh to me.
Well, you don't have to eat the box. Just eat what's inside.
All right, Peavy.
That'll be $1.03 for the governor.
There you are, Peavy.
Thank you. Taking your candy with you to the fair tomorrow, I presume?
No, Petey. The candy's for the girl I'm taking to the fair tomorrow. I haven't time to talk now. I've been away from the house for over an hour. I still have to go to Katie Milford's. Leroy will be looking for me.
Oh, by the way, Leroy was in here a while ago. He asked if you'd been in.
Uh-oh.
Said you were practicing his music with him.
Now, Peavy, this is just a silly idea of Marjorie's. I had nothing to do with it. For goodness sakes, don't tell anybody. I'll be the laughing stock of the town.
No, I wouldn't say that.
You what?
Oh, I think it's a very commendable thing.
You do? Really?
And Leroy said some rather complimentary things about you.
He did? Well, I hadn't thought of it that way.
Of course, if you'd rather I didn't mention it to anybody.
Evening, Gilda. Peavy.
Hello, Judge.
Evening, Judge.
Well, Judge, I suppose you've heard the news.
What news?
Well, little Leroy's been having such a hard time practicing his piano lessons, I decided to join right in with him. We're taking up the piano together.
Don't tell anybody, he said.
Why, Gilda, you mean you're practicing his little pieces right along with him?
Yes, indeed. An hour a day.
Windbag.
Well, that's the nicest thing I ever heard.
Yeah.
Leroy said you were supposed to come home. The piano is waiting.
All right, Petey.
And I suppose that tomorrow, when you and Leroy have finished your stint at the keyboard, you'll be off arm in arm to the fair.
Well, not exactly, Judge. I'm planning to take Katie Milford.
Oh, your little nurse.
Yeah. In fact, I'm on my way to her house right now.
Yeah, I see you have a large box of candy. Need any help carrying it?
No, thanks, Judge. My hands need the exercise. Got to limber up for the piano.
Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, Gildy, let me say I'm extremely proud of you for what you're doing.
Thank you, Judge.
Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, for... What is it, Petey?
If you don't move, you're going to be the hottest piano player in town.
What?
You're leaning up against the cigar lighter.
Oh! Katie, beautiful Katie. Yeah, there's a light on at Katie's house. It's been a long time since I've seen her. I wonder if she's missed me. Sure she has. How could she help it? 9:30, Gildersleeve. You better shake a leg. I'll stand under the porch light so it catches my profile from the top like they do in the movies. I wonder if she's changed. Katie, beautiful Katie.
Who's there?
Three guesses.
Well, Throckmorton, it's you.
Yep, it's me.
I don't know if I should ask you in or not.
Huh?
You've been away a long, long time.
But Catherine, I've been busy. Besides, you know what they say about absence. Makes the heart grow fonder. Let me come in. Just for a little while.
Oh, Throckmorton, you naughty boy. I can't say no to you.
By George, she has changed. Didn't have any trouble saying no to me before.
Come on in. But just for a minute.
Oh, thank you. Prettier, too. Gorgeous. I wonder what she did last summer.
Let me look at you, Throckmorton. I'd almost forgotten how big and handsome you are.
You have?
Let me unbutton your coat.
Oh, brother. Perfume in her hair. Makes me dizzy.
Now, come and sit here beside me on the couch.
Love to.
It's been such a long time. That's a lovely suit you're wearing.
Yep, brand new. Herringbone.
Talk to me, Throckmorton.
Well, when I stopped by to ask you, Catherine, I wondered if you'd like to go to the fair with me tomorrow, opening day.
No, I don't think I should.
Catherine, I was counting on it. I even brought you some candy.
Oh, thank you.
They're good. Chocolate-covered filberts.
But I don't think I'll go to the fair with you tomorrow.
Please, Catherine.
No, I don't think so.
Pretty please?
No. I haven't heard from you in months. You came back from your vacation. You didn't even call me.
Well, I've had lots of work at the office. And I'm helping Leroy with his piano lessons.
You're doing what?
Well, poor little fellow, pricing at that piano all alone. Somebody decided he needed somebody to do it with him.
Throckmorton, you mean you're doing that for Leroy?
He and I practice an hour every day.
Well, you angel. How long have you been doing this?
Starting tonight.
That's such a sweet thing to do.
Yeah.
Do you still want Katie to go to the fair with you tomorrow?
Sure I do.
Throckmorton, when a man is kind enough to help a little boy, it's the least I can do.
Great. Gildersleeve, stop shaking.
Hadn't you better go home now, Throckmorton?
Oh, but I just got here.
Don't you have to practice?
No, I'll do it tomorrow. I got a little practicing to do right here. The Great Gildersleeve returns in just a moment.
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
County Fair opens today in Summerfield. It's a beautiful morning, and everybody at the Great Gildersleeve's house is busy getting ready for the big day. But the great man himself is way ahead of them. He's at the fair already, and he isn't even out of bed.
Get a little closer.
Oh, I love going places with you, Throckmorton.
Yeah, so do I. Catherine, the Ferris wheel stopped. We're on top. How about little kids?
Oh, Throckmorton, you're so impulsive.
Oop, somebody rocking the Ferris wheel.
Uncle Mort.
What's the matter? Who's shaking the bed?
Well, it's me, Unky. Breakfast's ready. Everybody's up but you.
They are? Must have been dreaming. Nice.
Well, Leroy's already practiced his hour for today. You didn't practice yours last night.
Well, I got tied up. I'll do it this morning.
Oh, why don't you practice an hour before breakfast and an hour after breakfast? That'll catch you up for last night and you'll be all through for today.
No, I think I'll put in 2 hours after breakfast. I don't think I could hit an E flat on an empty stomach. Good breakfast, Bertie.
Well, I'm trying, Mr. Gildersleeve. Land is so much hurrying around here getting ready for the fair, I don't know which way is up.
Well, everybody's busy today, Bertie.
Yes, sir. That little Leroy sure is. He's been practicing this morning like a little angel ever since you told him you were going to do it with him.
Well, it's my duty, Bertie. Help the boy with his little problems.
Yes, sir.
Leroy has to learn that when you have a job to do, you do it before you do anything else.
Yes, sir.
Learning the value of responsibility. That's important.
Yes, sir.
That's how I got to be water commissioner.
Yes. You going to practice the piano this morning, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Certainly, Bertie. 2 hours. As soon as I take a look at the morning paper.
Unky, it's 10 o'clock. Are you going to the fair?
Yes, indeed. I'm taking Miss Milford.
Well, you better hurry if you're going to practice 2 hours.
All right, my dear. I'm not putting it off. Just want to glance at the paper.
Hey, Aunt, I've done my practicing.
Well, good.
When are you going to start?
Right away, my boy. Just want to look at the comics.
Come on, I'll do your work first and play afterwards. That's what you tell me.
All right, be right there.
Unc!
All right, I'm coming.
So's Christmas. That's what you tell me.
I'm coming right now.
You're not moving.
Leroy. Please.
Well?
All right, let's go. Where's the piano?
Same place it's always been.
Sure. Same piano.
Okay, there you are. Now, here are the teacher's instructions, and here's the piece we're practicing.
Oh, what's the piece called?
The Happy Farmer.
Oh, brother. Let me get the bench over here, huh?
Gee, this is keen, you and me beating the piano together, huh?
Yeah, keen.
Here's the clock on the table. You can see when you practice 2 hours.
All right, Leroy. Now run along.
I want to watch you.
You don't have to watch me. I'll do it.
And the piece starts right here at the top of the page.
Yeah, I know that, Leroy. To the happy farmer.
That's right. Now, C sharp.
Leroy. Well, somebody at the door.
I'll get it.
Yeah, I'll get it, Bertie. I'll get it. I'm right here.
You're supposed to be practicing.
Yeah, I will, Leroy. Let me answer the door. Don't be so crabby.
Well, good morning, Gilda.
Well, Horace, glad to see you. Come in and sit down.
What a slippery character.
I was just going by on my way to the fair, Gilda. I wondered if you and Miss Milford would like to ride with me in my new car.
Say, that's a wonderful idea, Judge. I'll get my hat and we'll drive by Catherine's house.
Unc!
What?
Remember? The happy farmer?
Oh, him. Sorry, Judge. You'd better go along. I have to practice.
Oh, what a shame. And I have my top down. It's a convertible, you know.
We might drive around the block.
Unc!
Leroy, it'll only take a minute.
Do your work first, Unc. Don't put it off.
Over.
Leroy is right, Gildy. But at least you can come out to the car and see my prize pumpkin that I'm taking to the fair.
Judge, you mean you have a pumpkin? Oh, I've got to see that. Come on, Judge. Be right back, Leroy.
Was I ever like this?
A beautiful pumpkin, Judge. Raise it yourself, huh?
Oh, yes, Gildy. Right in my own backyard.
Hey, Unc!
All right, Leroy, I'll be right there.
That's what you said a half hour ago.
Maybe you had better go, Gildy.
Relax, Judge. He'll forget it. Plenty of time.
Hey, Unc!
Be there in a minute, Leroy.
Gildy, don't you think you better go in? It's getting late.
No. Let's talk some more, Judge.
Oh, I can't think of anything else to talk about.
Well...
And I must be running along, Gildy. They'll be opening the fairgrounds in 10 minutes. I want to avoid the crowd. Don't want anybody to jostle my pumpkin.
Yeah, all right, Judge. I'll be leaving in a few minutes, too. Got to pick up Catherine.
It's the fair, Gildy.
Goodbye, Judge.
Look. No ship.
Guess I shouldn't have stayed out there so long. Now if I can just get past Leroy. Don't see him. Sure. He's probably forgotten all about me.
Hey, Unc.
Leroy.
Where are you going?
Well, it's pretty late now, Leroy. Catherine's waiting for me.
I practiced an hour last night and an hour this morning.
Well, I'm going to do it too. Later. I'll do it tonight. I'll practice 3 hours tonight.
Okay, Unc.
Sure. Can't miss the fair, my boy.
Okay.
You understand, don't you?
Sure, I understand. We're going, Unky. See you at the fair.
Yeah, I'll see you at the fair, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yeah, goodbye. Leroy, I don't want you to think I'm going back on a promise.
No, it's all right.
I'm leaving for the fair, Mr. Gildersleeve.
All right, Bertie.
Gee, poor Unc. You go ahead. You don't have to practice.
Really? No, by George, I can't do it. I made a promise. Wouldn't have any fun at the fair if I did go. You run along, my boy. Have a good time.
Aren't you going?
No, I'll stay here.
But how about Miss Milford?
Well, on your way, stop by her house. Tell her I couldn't make it. Tell her I had to work. Happy farmer. Gildersleeve, quit feeling sorry for yourself. It's your own fault. Everybody else is at the fair, having fun. Now I know how Leroy feels, all alone at the piano. Katie, you'll never speak to me again. You wonder what Katie's doing.
Hello, Throckmorton.
Who? Catherine. How'd you get in here?
I saw you through the window and slipped in.
Why did you go to the fair?
Oh, I couldn't, Throckmorton, not after I found out what had happened.
What do you mean?
Leroy told me why you didn't come.
He did?
Mm-hmm. I admire you.
Well.
Move over a little.
What are you going to do?
Sit down here beside you. You know, Throckmorton, it's so much easier to practice when you have somebody to do it with you.
What a girl. This is better than going to the fair.
Throckmorton.
Sure. Fair is just as good at night. An awful lot of it, though. I'm getting tired, are you, Catherine?
Oh, no. Shall we go through the agricultural exhibit?
No, I've seen the judge's pumpkin.
Throckmorton, are you having a good time?
Me? Well...
What would you like to do?
You really want to know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go home and do some more practicing.
Gildersleeve is played by Willard Waterman. The show is written by Paul West, John Elliott, and Andy White, with music by Robert Armbruster. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Mary Lee Robb, Lillian Randolph, Kathy Lewis, Dick Crenna, Earl Ross, and Richard LeGrand. This is John Heaston saying goodnight for the Kraft Food Company, makers of the famous line of Kraft quality food products. Be sure to listen in next Wednesday and every Wednesday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve. And also for a half hour of spine-tingling excitement, listen next Sunday afternoon to The Falcon over this station. Next Sunday, The Falcon will keep you on the edge of your chair every minute as he solves the case of the talented twins. Be sure to hear The Falcon next Sunday afternoon.
From September of 1950, it's been The Great Gildersleeve with Gildy Shares Leroy's Piano Lessons. In a moment, The Whistler with The Case of the Fog, as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
The Whistler, with echoing footsteps and a haunting whistle, found its way onto the CBS schedule in 1942. The whistle, 13 notes, destined to become an all-time lingering melody of radio. In the melodramatic early years, The Whistler was written and produced by J. Donald Wilson. The program served up generous portions of ironic commentary and stories, tales full of twists and surprises, usually containing a fine double twist at the end. Despite its memorable format, the program had a rather spotty record on the air. For most of the run, it was heard only on the West Coast. Billed over the CBS network through the mid-1940s as the Pacific Coast's leading mystery program, The Whistler was played through most of the run by Bill Foreman. Wilbur Hatch, who composed the haunting theme, once estimated that only one person in 20 could come close to whistling the melody. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with The Whistler and The Fog from September of 1943. Another classic radio moment from the archives of yesteryear.
Wait a minute. Have you heard the strange tales of The Whistler?
I'm The Whistler.
I was with Danny when it happened, but I couldn't hang on to him. He ran off and left me, and I've been looking for him ever since.
That was Captain Fowler. Something had happened to his friend, Danny.
I ain't going to no doctor at this time of the night. Tomorrow, maybe, but I'm not going tonight.
That was Danny. Danny knew something had happened to him, but he didn't know what it was.
But, Danny, you couldn't have done a thing like that. I know. Don't worry, Danny.
That was Faye, Danny's girlfriend. And this is Joe Rodriguez, a fisherman.
It's much better that I leave town, Danny. If I stay, I might forget I am your friend.
Sunday night, and again CBS presents The Whistler.
I, the Whistler, know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales, many secrets hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. And so I tell you tonight the strange story of fog.
Well, Danny, my boy, this is the thickest fog I've seen in this harbor in many a year. Mm-hmm. I've been a sailor man for a long time.
Yeah, that's right, Captain. Can't see a single light along the entire waterfront. But we don't need light for where we're going. I know the way to the anchor pool room.
Yeah, I know too. Hey, Danny, you didn't bring your gun, did you?
Sure I did. Why?
No, wait a minute. I'm not going to let you talk to Duke Moran with a gun in your bucket.
Why not, Captain?
Well, you might lose your temper and do something you'd regret.
What's the matter with your cap? I ain't going to shoot anybody. I just want it in case Duke Moran gets tough.
Oh, sure. I know, but if he gets tough, you can handle him with your fists.
Sure. Unless he tried to slip a knife through my ribs.
Well,
Don't worry about the gun, Captain. I won't lose my head.
So Danny and Captain Fowler continue on their way toward the anchor pool room, Duke Moran's usual hangout, where Danny intends to have a showdown with Moran. But the captain is worried about Danny's gun, for he knows that Danny hates Moran to the core of his being.
Now, look, son, I hate to keep bringing this up, but, you know, I wouldn't go storming up to the Duke and start raising the debt.
He borrowed money from me, and he ain't kept his word about paying it back.
Oh, I know, my boy, but he'll pay it back.
Oh, no, he won't. He's planning to skip town and leave me holding the sack.
Now, look, you're working for me, Danny, and you're my best friend. And I'm going along to back up your claims because I was a witness when the loan was made. But look here, I don't want to see you in no trouble.
Oh, I'll take it easy. But I can tell you one thing.
Hey, look up for that hydrant. Look up. Danny, are you hurt? Here. Let me help you.
No.
That's it now. Easy does it. Up now. There we are. Nasty spill. You just sit here for a bit. Boy, you took a real header.
Huh?
How do you feel, Danny? Yeah, better let me see if you cut yourself.
Keep your hands off me. Who are you?
What?
What is this, a stick-up?
Danny, are you kidding?
Go away. Get away or I'll call the cops.
Why? But Danny, you're out of your head.
Get away.
But don't you know me?
Let me alone.
Well, come back here. No, don't go away. Come back. Danny!
Danny breaks away and quickly disappears into the fog. For a quarter of an hour, Captain Fowler searches the vicinity and finally hurries on to the anchor pool room.
Hey, any of you guys here in the pool room seen Danny Price?
Oh, hello there, Cap. No, I haven't seen Danny.
Neither have I, Cap. Don't think he's been around.
Oh, I see. Well, is Duke Moran here?
The Duke? He was here a minute ago. Where'd he go, George?
Out in the alley, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Some guy opened the back door and called him.
Some guy? Oh.
Uh-huh.
But tell me, was it Danny?
I don't know.
I don't know either, Captain. We didn't pay no attention to who it was.
Oh, I see. Well, okay, boys. Thanks.
Later that night, groping his way along the waterfront, Captain Fowler arrives at the box office of the Crystal Motion Picture Theater. An attractive girl is selling tickets.
Hello, Faye.
Well, hello there, Captain. Going to the show?
Oh, no, not tonight, Faye. I'm looking for Danny. Have you seen him?
No, I haven't. And I'm sore at that big lug, too. He promised faithfully he'd be here to take me home, and it's time to close the box office right now.
Look, Faye, I don't want to excite you, but I've got to tell you something. Danny's had an accident.
An accident?
Yeah. He fell down on the street. He tripped over a fire hydrant, and when he got up, you know what happened. He couldn't remember nothing.
He was walking around someplace in a daze.
Good heavens.
Yes, I was with him when it happened, but I couldn't hang on to him. He ran off and left me, and I've been looking for him ever since.
Would you tell the police?
No.
Well, for heaven's sake, tell them, Captain. Maybe they can find him.
No, Faye, I don't want to tell the cops.
Why not?
There's a certain reason, and I don't want to talk about it here.
Look, you wait here till I check in the cash. It'll only take a few minutes. I'll be right with you.
All right, Faye.
All right, Captain, now tell me. Why didn't you notify the police?
Because Danny's got a gun on him.
Oh.
Yes. He was on his way to see Duke Moran. You know about that money.
Yes.
He was afraid the Duke might start something.
I see. You say you've been looking for Danny?
Yes, I've been everywhere. Been to the casino, over to the bowling alley.
Have you been to Fred's Cafe?
Well, no.
Well, Danny goes there for coffee sometimes.
Well, all right, we'll take a look. Fred's Cafe, why, it's in the next block, ain't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you, Faye, we got to find that kid. He's like a crazy man. You know what he did? He looked me right in the face and he didn't know me.
My goodness. Captain, suppose his memory never does come back.
Oh, now, Faye, don't carry on like that. And don't you start worrying. Yeah, I know how you feel. You and Danny engaged to be married and all, but don't you worry. I think everything will turn out all right.
Oh, I hope so.
Hey, wait!
Listen.
What's your hurry, folks?
That's Danny.
Well, sure it is.
You're going to a fire or something? I've been chasing you for a block.
Oh, Danny.
Hiya, Faye.
Oh, Danny, you're all right.
Oh, sure, I'm all right. Except I'm kind of mixed up. All of a sudden, I'm sitting in the Clark Hotel. And I don't remember going there at all.
The Clark Hotel?
Yeah.
Well, so that's where you've been.
Well, it seems to me I was walking along with you, Cap.
Of course you were, Danny. Don't you know what happened? You had a lapse of memory.
Huh?
Yeah, we've been worried to death about you. The captain and I were looking for you. Oh, Danny, I'm so glad you're all right. Oh,
so I've been off my noggin.
Sure. Don't you remember falling over that fire hydrant?
Fire hydrant?
Yes, that's what did it, Danny. When I helped you up, you thought I was a stick-up man. You run off down the street.
Well, I'll be darned. How long ago did this happen, Captain?
Well, it's been an hour ago or more. You've been in the Clark Hotel all that time.
Well, how should I know?
When did you come to your senses, Danny?
Well, just now. I'm sitting there in the lobby wondering what it's all about when I seen you folks passing the window.
Oh, swell. But look, Danny boy, you're going to a doctor right away.
What do you mean, doctor?
Well, your head. You must have struck it when you fell.
Oh, my head's all right.
Oh, now, please, don't put up an argument, Danny.
Oh, now, look. Hey, here comes an ambulance. Maybe I better flag it down and crawl in.
Oh, now, don't be smart.
Wait a minute. That's no ambulance. It's a police car.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, never mind the police car. Danny, come over here under the light. Let me take a look at your head.
Oh, now, look, Faye, I tell you, there's nothing wrong with
it. Hey, look. You see where that car's stopping?
Huh?
Over in front of the Anchor Pool Room.
Yeah? Well, wonder what's happened there.
Well, I don't know.
Well, forget it.
No, I want to find out what's going on.
Yeah, so do I.
Come on, Danny, let's go over and see.
People, get back now. Don't block the doorway.
Hey, what's happened, officer?
The guy's been killed. Shot.
Yeah?
Yeah. They just found his body out in back of the pool hall. Well,
who was he? You know?
Yeah, Duke Moran.
Duke Moran murdered, killed on the very night that you, Danny, with hatred in your heart and a gun in your pocket, were on your way to demand your money. Could it be that after your mind went blank, you continued on to the Anchor Pool Room? Look at your gun, Danny. If no shots have been fired, you're all in the clear.
Did I kill him? Did I kill him? Did I kill him? Come on, Danny, let's go.
Well, how do you like that? A guy gets bumped off owing me $100.
Yep, and you can kiss that dough goodbye.
And how?
Captain, who do you suppose killed Moran?
Well, how should I know? He didn't have any enemies that I know of. Except Danny.
What do you mean, except Danny? I wasn't the guy's enemy. I just wanted my money back, that's all.
Sure, I know.
You know what?
That you just wanted your money back? What are you getting so excited about?
Hey, boys, let's not walk down this way. There's no doctor in this direction.
Oh, hey, will you let up on that doctor thing? I tell you, there's nothing wrong with my head.
How do you know?
Well, anyhow, I ain't going to no doctor this time of the night. Tomorrow, maybe. My head starts aching or something.
Is that a promise?
Oh, okay, that's a promise.
Hey, Danny.
Yeah?
You know, I went to that pool hall right after you disappeared. I thought maybe I'd find you there.
Yeah?
Was I there?
No, he wasn't. I asked about Moran, and they said he'd just gone out in the alley. Somebody opened the back door and called him.
Why, Captain, you must have been there just before the murder.
Sure looks like it. I'm sorry now I didn't go out and back and see who Moran was with.
It's a shame you didn't.
Yeah. Hey, Annie, I've been wondering...
All right, go ahead and say it. It was me that called him out and back. It was me that killed him.
Why, Denny...
Well, that's what he's thinking, Faye. I can see it sticking out all over him.
Denny, you mustn't say that.
He knows I've been out of my head for an hour. Can't remember a thing, so now he's trying to pin a crime on me.
Shut up, you fool. Shut up. Why should I want to put a crime on you?
That's what I'd like to know.
What if you did kill Moran? I'm not holding it against you. You couldn't be blamed. He was off your nut.
Well, I didn't kill him.
How do you know?
I didn't. I know I didn't.
Yes, but how do you know?
Oh, Captain, use your head. Danny lost his memory, and that includes his memory of Moran and his grudge against Moran and everything.
Sure. So now what do you got to say?
Well, maybe that grudge was in the back of your mind, Danny. Even while your memory wasn't working.
You see, Faye, he's bound to make out I did it.
Oh, no such thing. But look here, if you was mixed up in this murder, Danny, it's up to me to help you. I'm your friend. And I've got to find out about it, Danny. Let me see your gun.
Huh?
Let me see your gun.
Oh, the devil with you.
Let him see it, Danny. That'll settle everything.
Sure he can see it. There you are, Cap.
Thanks, Danny. Yeah. The barrel smells of powder.
Are you crazy?
And two slugs have been fired, Danny. Look here.
All right, so the gun's been fired. And that means I killed Moran, I suppose. You're crazy, I tell you.
He's right, Captain. That gun doesn't prove a thing. He might have fired those shots anywhere for no reason at all.
Sure, I've been out of my head, ain't I?
Don't you worry, Danny boy. You didn't kill Moran.
Of course I didn't.
You couldn't have done a thing like that. Not even in a trance. So don't worry. Everything's going to be all right. Don't worry, Danny, darling.
Poor Faye. She doesn't believe her own brave talk. Deep down in her heart, she's afraid. Afraid that Danny is a killer. It is nearly midnight now. Danny and Captain Fowler have returned to their boat, the fishing boat Dolphin, in the harbor. Danny sits on the deck, gazing morosely into the fog.
Well, hadn't you better turn in, kid? You ought to get some sleep.
Oh, I couldn't sleep. Stick here a minute, will you, Cap? I'd like to talk to you.
Sure.
Sorry I blew my top the way I did when we was ashore.
Oh, that's all right, Danny.
I know you was thinking of my interest when you asked to see the gun.
Sure I was.
All kidding aside, it looks pretty much like I bumped off Moran, doesn't it, Cap?
Well, Danny, to be honest with you, it does. Still, there's room for doubt. If I was you, I'd lay low and say nothing.
And I know one thing. I could never be convicted of murder, even if I did do it.
Why not?
Because I was suffering from amnesia.
Yeah. Trouble is, how are we going to prove that?
How are we going to prove it? Well, couldn't you prove it? You was there when it happened. You saw me go slug nutty.
Sure, but who's going to believe me? I'm your friend. They'd think I was lying to save your neck.
Yeah. I see what you mean. But things look pretty bad then, don't they?
Ah, now look, Danny. Don't go hanging yourself in advance. You know, maybe it's like Faye said. Maybe you just happened to fire them shots.
Hey, listen. I hear a motorboat.
So what?
It's coming this way. Hear it?
Well... Sure, I hear it.
It's the cops. They're coming here to ask questions.
Oh.
I'm getting out of here, Captain.
No, you keep your shirt on. I'll hail the boat and find out who it is. You wait right here. Ahoy there!
Ahoy!
Who is it?
It's me, Joe Rodriguez.
Oh, there you are, Danny. It's only Portuguese Joe.
What's he doing out here this time of night?
Well, I don't know.
Here is my line, Captain. You made me fast. I'm coming aboard.
Okay, Joe.
How'd you know we'd be up this late?
Yeah.
They just took a chance, Danny. But I am glad you are up.
Oh, well, don't tell me you ran out of live bait again.
Oh, no. I got plenty of live bait.
Oh? What can we do for you, Joe?
Captain, I got a little business proposition I would like to talk over with Danny. And I would like to talk to him private.
Private?
Oh, now, wait a minute. Anything you got to say to me, you can say in front of the captain.
Oh, no, Danny. This is private. Very private.
Oh, see, well... That's okay, kid. I'll go below. I was about to turn in anyway.
Thanks, Joe, Captain.
Well, don't keep him up too long, Joe. You need some sleep.
It'd just be a few minutes, Captain. Good night.
Good night.
Well, what's on your mind?
Danny, I'm fed up with Easttown. Businesses were rotten here. I want to go to Seattle.
Yeah?
And I need a little money, Danny. $200. And I want for Joe to let me have it.
Are you kidding?
Ain't you got $200?
Sure I have, but I'm getting married in a few days. I need every cent I've got.
Oh, yeah? The sweet young lady who works at the Crystal Theater, huh? You'll be very happy with her, Danny.
You bet I will.
But you'll be much more happy if you give me the money so I can get out of town, Danny.
What do you mean?
I am your friend, Danny, and I do not wish to cause you any trouble. But I know something about you that nobody else in this world knows. Not one soul.
Yeah?
Yeah. Tonight I am in an alley behind the Anchor pool room. There is much fog. But I can see a little bit because there is a light. I see you shoot through Moran twice with a heart.
You're a dirty liar.
So, you see, Danny, it's much better I should leave town. If I stay here, I might get drunk someday and forget I am your friend. I might talk, Danny.
You climb in that boat of yours and get back to shore. Go on or I'll throw you overboard.
You'll come to see me tomorrow, huh? Before noon? If you don't come by noon... Well, maybe I get drunk, huh?
Cap! Cap, you awake?
Oh, yes, Dan.
Well, there's no room for doubt now. I'm the guy that did it.
What? How do you know?
Portuguese Joe was an eyewitness. He was there in the alley, saw the whole thing.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
That's right, Cap. The dirty rat came out here to blackmail me. Tried to shake me down for $200. Said I'd have to dig it up by tomorrow noon or he'd start talking.
Well, I'll be darned. Kid, I guess it's time we started doing some fast thinking.
Now, that ain't necessary, Cap. I'm clearing out tonight.
Now, wait a minute. Don't get panicky now. Now, let's give it some thought.
No, I'm on my way, Cap. No fooling.
Where are you going?
I don't know. I'm going for good. I won't be back.
You won't be... Oh, now, look here. What about Faye? What about your wedding?
That's just a broken dream, Cap.
Oh, Danny. Well, at least you're going to see her before you go, ain't you?
No.
Well, Danny, what's the matter with you? It ain't fair you to run out on pay.
It's the fairest thing in the world. Why prolong the agony? There's got to be a clean break.
Oh, but Faye's such a grand kid, and she'll wait for you. Faye's loyal. Yes, sir, Danny. After this thing blows over, you'll find Faye right here waiting for you.
I don't want her to wait for me, and I ain't coming back. Can't you understand that? I got to marry Faye now. Me, a killer?
Yeah, I know.
I love that girl. I wouldn't bring disgrace on her. And it would be disgrace even if I cleared myself of the charge. I'd still be a killer.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you would. Well, I guess there's no use talking to you. You won't listen to a word I say.
No, Cap. I've made up my mind. I'm going to pack my grip now and go ashore.
Hmm. Golly, kid, I sure hate to lose you.
I hate to go, too, Cap. You've been a prince to me. More like a brother than a boss.
Well, all I can say is thanks, Danny.
Even when you knew I was saving up my money to buy a boat of my own, to go into competition with you, you never said a word.
Well, why should I? Oh, this is a free country. Every man has a right to advance himself.
And about Faye, I wish you'd explain to her. You know what to say.
Well, not quite as good a talker as you are, Danny, but I'll try.
You know something, Cap? I wish you and Faye'd get married. I know you'd make her happy.
Me and Faye? Oh, no, why, she wouldn't have me.
Don't be too sure about that. She'll forget about me after a while. But explain things to her, will you?
Well, okay, Danny. I'll try. I'll do my best.
Well, I'm going to hit the first freight train out of town. So long, Cap.
Danny, wait a minute.
Hey, what are you doing here?
Oh, Danny, I'm so glad I saw you. I was about to get a boat and go out to the Dolphin.
Yeah?
I've got some wonderful news for you.
What?
At least I think I have. What caliber is your revolver?
Well, it's a .38.
I thought so. Danny, you didn't kill him. You didn't kill Moran. He was shot with a .45.
Huh?
Yeah. I just came from the police hospital. They took the bullets from Moran's body. They were bullets from a .45.
Oh, no. No, that can't be right.
It is right, Danny.
Oh, there's some mistake, honey. Look, I hadn't figured on telling you this, but there was an eyewitness to the murder. Portuguese Joe, the bait peddler. He's just been out to the boat trying to shake me down for some hush money.
Well, he's a liar if he says you did it.
Oh, no, honey. You got a bum steer about them bullets.
I didn't, I tell you. I got it straight from the doctor. What's more, I've been to the Clark Hotel. The clerk said you were there for practically an hour, sitting by the window. That means you went there right after you left the captain, so you couldn't have been to the pool room.
I'll be darned. Now, look, Faye,
Suppose you go out to the Dolphin. Here, take this grip. Tell the captain what you just told me. And tell him I'm paying a visit to Portuguese Joe right now.
Yes? Yes? Just 1 minute. Who is it? Who's there?
It's me, Danny.
Oh. Well, I wasn't expecting you so soon, Danny. You could just as well have come in the morning.
I wanted to get this thing settled.
Sure. Have you got any money?
Joe, you didn't see me shoot Moran.
Nah, Danny, I hope you're not going to put up no argument.
You lied to me. I'm here to get the truth.
Now, look, Danny.
Come on, admit it. You lied to me, didn't you?
No.
Oh, you sure did.
Oh, you're... Let me go!
Don't choke the living daylights out of me, you rat! Come on, tell me you lied!
Yes, I lied to you.
I thought so.
Let me go now.
Sure, I'll let you go. But you're going to come clean. You're going to give me the load on this whole rotten business. Come on now, start talking.
The fog has lifted now, and the eastern sky heralds the approach of dawn. As Danny returns to the Dolphin, he finds Faye standing on the deck.
Danny, I thought you'd never get back. It's almost daylight.
Well, I had a long ways to go, honey. Joe lives way out at the end of the Channel Street Wharf. That's where his bait check is.
Well, what'd you find out? Did you face him with his lie?
I sure did. Is the captain in his cabin?
No, he's not. He's gone ashore.
Gone ashore?
Danny, there's something wrong with the captain. He's been acting very queerly.
Yeah?
When I told him he'd gone to see Portuguese Joe, his face went as white as a sheet. Then he went over to his desk and wrote a note. Sealed it in an envelope and told me to give it to you when you come back.
I'll bet I know what's in it.
What?
A confession. But I won't need it now. I got one from Joe.
What do you mean?
Honey, the captain's been framing me.
Framing you?
Yeah, that's right. It's hard to believe, but it's true. Remember he said he didn't go out back at the pool hall to see who it was that called Moran out in the alley?
Yes.
Well, he lied. He did go out there. And he saw the murder committed. He knew who did it.
Why, Danny.
And right then, he got a bright idea. He figured he'd make me believe I committed that murder. So I'd take it on the lam. Get out of town. You see, honey?
Well, why would he do that?
Because he was in love with you.
What?
Our wedding day was getting closer, and the captain was half crazy with jealousy. He wanted me out of the picture so that he could marry you.
Oh, Danny, I can't believe that.
It's true, honey. Joe told me. I'd have got a lot more out of Joe, too, only he broke loose from me and dived into the water. Last I seen of him, he was swimming away.
Well, what about the murder? Did you find out who killed Moran?
I got a hunch that Joe himself did it. After he left, I looked around his shack. I found an IOU there signed by the Duke.
It did? Then the Duke owed Portuguese Joe money, too.
Yep. And I figured the captain made Joe a proposition. If Joe'd come here and make me believe I was the killer, the captain wouldn't squeal on me.
Sure, Danny. That makes sense.
Well, I better see what the captain wrote.
Yeah. Open it up, Danny.
Dear Danny, I suppose you know everything by now. I haven't got the nerve to face you, kid, so I'll be the one to hit the freight. You won't need to save any more money for that boat. I've signed over the Dolphin to you. You'll find the papers in my desk. Good luck, Danny, and make Faye a good husband.
Yes, the captain was the villain in our story. But wait. What about Danny's gun with the two empty shells? That doesn't fit into our solution at all. Or does it? Remember when the captain and Danny were on their way to the pool hall and Danny stumbled over the hydrant? The fog was pretty thick, you know. The captain didn't have a bit of trouble in slipping that gun out of Danny's pocket. He wanted to make sure Danny didn't use it on Moran. And later, after the captain had formulated his plot against Danny, it was a simple matter for him to fire a couple of shots from the gun and then slip it back into Danny's pocket when he met Faye and Danny on the street. Yes, the fog sometimes has its advantages.
CBS has presented The Whistler. Original music for this production was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Tonight's Whistler story was written by Herbert Connor, directed by J. Donald Wilson, and originated from Columbia Square in Hollywood. Next Sunday, same time, 9:15.
I, the Whistler, will return to tell you the unusual story of jealousy. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From September 20th of 1943, it's been The Whistler with The Fog. That's all the time we have for today, but join us again next week and invite a friend to listen to enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. The comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show.
Preceding program, copyright Edgewater Productions, all rights reserved.